calling on my phone saying daddy ain't okay. I'm starting to realize shit'll never be the same. Someone open up a window for I hyperventilate. I'm just trying to be great, Lord, hear me when I pray. I done went out of my way, if they don't hear me, I'll wait. It was so much easier to go and take a leap of faith when I stop having the nightmares of falling on my face. My love, I don't wanna let you down. I will never let you down. When there's no one around, come along and take one.
Thank you, everyone, for joining our second episode of the Let's Just Sleep on That podcast. My name's Desmond. I'm here with Neek.
What's up?
Talia.
Good morning.
Jarrett.
Hello.
And that song that you heard at the beginning is the Let's Just Sleep on That podcast very own Neek the Geek. We are sponsored by GOT Sounds right here in Columbia. So if you're tired of recording in your cousin's basement and need some good quality sound, please don't hesitate to stop by.
Yes, sir.
Gang.
Today, our topic is mental health. The question that I have for everyone is, are we in a mental health crisis here in America? We've all heard it day-to-day life. So I want to open the floor to my peers, and I'll start with Neek.
All right, so I'm just going to keep it plain and simple. I think that we are kind of in a mental health crisis, and I think COVID-19 is playing a big part in that. It's making, you know, it's making people depressed, making people anxious. It's
just from like being inside.
Yeah. It's bringing forth a lot of emotions, especially tension. Like people are coming out, you know what I'm saying? Fighting back and all of that. You know what I'm saying? Just people's
A lot of aggression built up. They're staying inside. They don't really have that outlet. You know, a lot of, I think 30% of Americans are working from home now or laid off or something like that. So stress.
And now communication is getting worse because before you had the option to communicate through the internet, but now that's like, almost the only way you can do it. So you're not really getting that person-to-person communication, face-to-face or whatever.
Absolutely.
And we need that as humans for sure. Yeah. Like,
human interaction?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big thing.
Yeah. After a week of like just being alone, I got to go see somebody.
I'm going crazy.
I got to get out of the house. I got to do something because if I just sit there, I'm just lost in my thoughts.
Yeah.
Your situation.
That's how them serial
killers life could not even be that. Yeah, your life could not even be that bad, but just being alone is a factor.
Speaking of communication, I got this face mask on, so if I sound muffled, that's why. Just want to let y'all know. Just trying to protect my people. I'm not sick, but I was around too many people yesterday, so looking out.
We're recording with Neek in the other room right now.
Yeah. Just so y'all know. So I always like to talk like, for most of these topics, I'm going to talk about personal experience, and I didn't grow up thinking that mentally there's a problem with the world, you know, or just myself. But you grow up and you start thinking, man, certain things that I learned or certain things that I did weren't cool, but that was because I wasn't in the right mental headspace, and that's okay. But no one ever told me that that was okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people grow up thinking, oh, there's something wrong with me, and there's nothing wrong with you. You're in your thoughts, like the rest of us are.
I was about to say, I think there's two factors to mental illness. I think one is your like environmental factors. And two is that, you know, you don't have a mental illness until someone else kind of says you do. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, you're just kind of vibing through life, you know?
Right.
So. I agree. So just to
Say mental illness isn't real.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy.
No, just to kind of piggyback off that too. Like you said, you know how you were saying like, You don't really recognize that you have a mental illness until someone points it out. But now that we have social media and people are, you know, like I said, having that outlet of social media and that platform, like you're more aware and you're more like liable to kind of put that out there. I guess the point I'm trying to make is more so along the lines of like, you wouldn't know about it until you saw it again.
Yeah.
And then now that social media is there, like it's in your face every day.
I want to echo that. I think like a lot of people don't realize that their situations may not be normal until someone else is like what, you're going through that? Like that's not right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, so agree. I'm glad y'all brought up social media because I always love to talk about social media. So do y'all think that that is a part of the problem that we have? Like people are, they're so into what other people are doing. So
yes.
I see these people I went to high school with, they're traveling, but I'm at home working at Olive
Garden. It's the fear of missing out.
Yes. So does that weigh in on a person? Or like Instagram and a lot of the other sites taking away like things that you can see like likes. So I'm not really stressing about how much, you know, people care about me.
Yeah.
It's like, cause you know, they say that those things like release a type of a chemical in your body that's like stimulating, like, that really makes you feel good about yourself.
Right.
I heard, what's his name? The dude that started Fat Form.
I'm not sure.
Whatever his name is, anyway. I heard him say, like, when he wakes up in the morning, the first thing, well, the first thing he won't do, like, for the first hour or maybe 2 hours of the day, he won't check emails, he won't get online, he won't check messages, he won't, you know,
that's respect.
Look at social media, and it's
better
because,
than me.
And it's because, like,
he wants to start his day.
He
right?
wants to start his day, not like
worried about the world.
Worried about the world, or in our case, it's like seeing so much that we envy in a way, you know,
yeah.
that makes us.
Right.
Know,
yeah.
That kind of
right.
put us in a depressed state.
I definitely think that that's the case. Even doing this podcast, I kind of found myself waking up monitoring, like, oh, snap, the views. Did they download it? Did they do this? Did they do these things? And I'm like, dang, I'm wasting my time doing an hour, 2 hours, you know, coming here, recording it, and then coming, sitting with Neek to cut it up, worrying about if the world is going to hear me.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm focusing on that instead of actually living my life and doing the podcast for the reason that I should be doing it for. And that's just to, you know, have a narrative.
Right.
But I think it became that. I think at the beginning, I think you were just more concerned about the progress. You know, you wanted to see if it was worth doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess you got obsessed with it.
Yeah.
After it started performing well.
It's literally on, like, if you open up my internet browser right now, the views and the page is up there. So,
mine too, man. Mine too.
Just trying to look at stuff.
It makes sense, like, in that sense, because it's something that you created and you started, right? Like, this is your art, or this is what you want to do. So I get that. But how much of that is, like, when you post a picture of yourself, you know what I mean? You only get
different.
4 likes.
Yeah.
You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, no, like, it's not, because you want to feel appreciated. And I think that's what you, when you put something on social media, you're like, okay, if I get 50 likes, those 50 likes made me feel good and I want to feel appreciated. So we're all searching for something that we're not getting somewhere else.
Okay.
Through these platforms that are full of people that don't give a damn about you in reality.
That's
I mean, you probably have 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 followers on all of these platforms that you have, but in reality, they don't give a damn about you. They don't.
For real.
So do you think that's a mental illness that we have as a society?
Oh, I think it's plaguing us for sure. We're seeking attention in places that we don't need to be seeking it.
But that's human nature,
that's,
right?
I think that's true. I think social media definitely, like, kind of plays into the, like, esteem issues, like, fear of missing out. But, like, I think that there's, like, a darker side of mental illness that people, like, don't like to talk about. And as much as people want to advocate, you know, yeah, like, we're all about mental health and, you know, mental wellness, you know, when it comes down to things like personality disorders or schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, you know, people don't want to talk about it, or people want to write those people off and just say, oh, well, you know, they can go to, you know, like a home, like a, I don't want to say like a mental home, but like a
halfway house kind of.
Yeah. There's like an official name for it that sounds better than like a mental home that they call it. That's like escaping me right now. But like, that's all that they want to do for those people. No one really wants to talk about, you know, what those people actually go through. No one wants to talk about like the suicide rates of those people. No one wants to talk about, you know, caring for those people when they're just displaying symptoms and things like that. You know, like, I think the big two that people like to talk about are like depression and anxiety. And of course, I think anyone living in America, anyone living anywhere that is, you know, out here just trying to hustle, do their thing, they're going to experience anxiety. They're going to experience a little bit of depression. You know, I think there's still like kind of a difference though that we need to like kind of point out. And I think that something that we need to talk about is also like over prescribing medications and things like that as well.
Absolutely.
Like, are we over diagnosing people with certain things, you know?
Yeah. So being that we're in Colombia, here in the South, I just read a statistic that said for African Americans, 55% of African Americans in the South deal with mental disorder. And that is a mind-blowing number for me.
And
like, I didn't think it was that bad.
I feel like it's
you know,
more.
I believe that,
crazy.
Though, because back to, like, environmental factors and things like that, you have to think about stress, you have to think about job opportunities, you have to think about, like, you know, violence in certain neighborhoods, or the fact that, like, you know, you're busting your ass and you can't get to that next level, things like that, you know?
And I feel like it's more, but, you know, a lot of black males don't really...
They're not going to go to the doctor or someone to diagnose.
Or they feel like
it's
weakness if, like...
Yeah. So that's a good point.
You know what I'm saying?
You think about that compared 55% compared to the 18% that live in the Midwest, 17% in the Northwest, and 10% in the West.
Wow.
So almost 5 times as likely if you're in the South to deal with a mental issue if you're black. And that's insane.
Yeah.
That's a crazy number.
That is.
I believe it, because it wasn't until I moved to this region that I felt like a little funky. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I felt like,
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Can I throw something in? Yeah. Unless anybody wants to add to that.
No.
Mine was more so just like, I think a lot of that has to do with not only being a black or a person of color, whatever it is, or a foreigner, whatever. I think a lot of it has to do with being male, too, honestly, not to take away. Because I feel like as soon as a woman, and this is just me being speculative, I'm not saying everyone, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like as a woman, if she feels something's wrong with her body, like, they obviously have a lot more that can go wrong, so they're at the doctor as soon as they can. But as soon as we're sick, we're like,
I'm trying to tough it out.
I mean, I broke my elbow and I didn't go to the doctor for two days. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like a tough guy thing. It was just like, it's not that bad.
I wonder if that's like generational, though. Like, did y'all's parents, like, you know, coming up kind of be like, you know, unless you're like dying or have like a broken bone, like, you're not going to the doctor? Like, no such thing as like mental illness.
I think a big factor too is like, if there's something wrong with you, and I'm going to talk trash about the American healthcare system, you don't want to go to the doctor if you can't afford it.
That's true.
Yeah,
so I'm like, man, I'm gonna thug this sickness. If I get the flu, which I had the flu, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago, didn't go to the doctor.
Yeah,
because I was in a point in my life I couldn't afford, you know, $100 copay or whatever it was. But it, you know, it seems like, oh, you couldn't afford that, or like that's cheap, like, for you to go to the doctor. Like, it is now that I'm in a position where I can pay for that, but some people aren't gonna go because if I have schizophrenia, I'm not gonna go to the doctor.
Right. I already know I have it.
Well, I already know I have it. Like, what you gonna prescribe me?
So check this out. I had like a huge surgery. I had an open heart surgery when I was 22, and I'm supposed to go like every 6 months or maybe yearly to get a checkup.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie, I haven't been in a while.
Oh, that's not good. He said in a while.
And I know that's real bad, but it's for what you said, man. They have to do so many tests on me. Yeah. X-rays, sonograms, all this stuff. You know how expensive that is? I don't have the same insurance I did when I was first when I first started getting those checkups. So it's gonna be way more expensive for me. And I'm not gonna lie. I'm like, you know,
you feel fine.
I don't feel it.
It's really expensive. Yeah.
As long as I don't feel it, I ain't going back because I don't want to spend that type of money.
Yeah.
God forbid I have a heart attack or some you know, something, or a stroke or whatever.
Yeah.
Or the tumor comes back. But, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I just trying to.
Yeah, people
trying to save more money.
Right, exactly. And that's why a lot of people, you know, don't seek the health. Like, I know personally when I got dropped from my insurance, like, I think my monthly, like, medication expenses jumped to, like, damn near, like, $500 or something like that. And even with insurance, it's still, like, around $60, almost $100 a month or something like that. So
Right. I think this is, like, a perfect segue into, like, as far as, like, people with mental illness, like you were talking about, like, they're not going to go seek help. Either just because one, financial, two, like, they may have, like I said, maybe they're men and we're all stupid and we're just going to stay home and deal with it ourselves or whatever.
This isn't to say don't seek help, though. Like, if you definitely think that, like, you know, you need somebody to talk to, like, try to look into it, like, see about therapists in your area too, because, like, you know, I think medication therapy, like, isn't for everyone, but therapy takes different forms and can, you know, help people.
Right. It's there for a reason. I think we're more so just bringing light to, like, why aren't we? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes talking to people can help you as well.
Yeah. I agree. But I'm guilty of it too. Like, I've seen people share the whatever, like, long post on Facebook, and it's just like, you know, whatever. Like, is it going to help one person? I mean, it might. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, just going through that, I think, like, it would be cool to hear, like, some personal.
You're right, though. Like,
stories as well.
Just talking to someone can help. Like, how many, you know, that they people post that suicide prevention hotline all over, all over social media.
But you know what? You know
what can those people really do? So if I'm suicidal and I'm in this moment where I'm manic and I want to kill myself, all they're gonna do is talk to me.
Right. Honey, you won't kill yourself when you're manic.
I mean,
you'll think you're God when you're manic.
Well, to me, that
like
seems in my experience, I think it would be crazy to kill yourself,
right?
So that's why I said that word.
Mm-hmm.
But so you get in that situation where all they're gonna do is talk to you.
Yeah.
But, like, you got friends and family and people you
that
should
do that for
that
you.
Will do that for you. That
but
should.
You know, some people, like, have a hard time opening up to people close to them.
I was about to say, so it's very vulnerable.
It's easier to talk to strangers.
That's a very vulnerable state. You know?
That's true.
You know,
and you know what?
Well, then you have to, those friends should be getting you someone, even if it's their friend who you know nothing about.
A lot of friends and family ignore the signs. They ignore the cry for help.
That's true.
I mean, cries for help.
Very,
you know?
Very true.
That's true. I think it's crazy, too. Like, even though, like, that suicide hotline is there, like, Logic did a whole song on that, and we still make fun of him to this day because of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of crazy.
That's off topic, crazy. He stole that from Joyner Lucas.
Really?
Yeah. I think they're past that now.
Yeah. He did. He did. Because he put it at the beginning of every one of his songs.
Yeah. But I mean, I've been in situations where I kind of like hinted out a little cry for help. Like, I really wanted to like talk to people, like open up to people about, I feel like, I know I reached out to you, man. I tell you, man, I'm so obsessed with money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of killing my spirits and stuff and robbing me of my time because I just constantly want to make as much money as possible. I want to be comfortable. I don't want to be bound by a 9-to-5. I don't, you know? And I feel like that's a mental issue that I have. I'm just obsessed with living a better life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think, not to take away from it, but I think that's what most people aspire for, right?
Yeah.
But again, it goes back into
the
thing. Like,
stress of building that.
I'm not gonna lie, man. It's kind of an issue for me. And like I said, with my, like, I should really be getting those checkups, but I want to hold on to my money.
Or right.
I don't really do much with my weekends because I want to work.
Right.
I want to get that money. I want to get, you know what I'm saying? Or I'm so loyal to a job that doesn't, there's not a lot of benefits, but every time I see a paycheck, I'm cool with staying, you know? Like, I really do imprison myself and working. I'm not enjoying my life. I'm trying to make sure I don't work when I get old. But low key, what if I don't get old? What if I die today? You know what I'm saying? I'm not getting my checkups. What if I walk out of here and drop dead?
Yeah.
God forbid.
I think that falls along the line, like, addiction.
Yeah.
So
like I said, I'm
that's still a mental.
Yeah.
I still 100%.
Yeah. If you
agree,
if this thing,
it's a disease, bro.
But
I think
that could be
addiction is a disease.
A positive addiction, though. You're not letting it corrupt you or make you a bad individual. You're,
but if
you're,
it's causing
it's not,
fear
I'm not trying
in your
to,
life, though, if it's causing you like a fear,
right.
You know, because you know, if you don't have a safety net, then I can see how you would be obsessed with,
so
you know,
do you,
gaining money.
Do you
and
fear
things?
That if you don't make enough money, something bad's gonna happen?
Look, I fear going broke. I fear not being able to support a life that I want to live, or you know, support people.
I think that's
love.
A good fear.
You know,
I think that's
it's
a
good
fear.
I want to be scared of that.
I mean, it's a motivating fear.
It's a motivating fear, but at some point, it just consumes me. Like, am I really enjoying my life? No.
Or what if, like, you have that fear because you've, like, been through it already? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you've already been homeless or if you've already, like,
broke,
you know,
you ain't going
never
back.
Been. Well, yeah.
Because it doesn't get worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, for those people that have been there, they don't. I've been there, so I don't ever. Go back to that. I don't mind. Mm-hmm. I don't mind. I will work. I would prefer to chase the money and do the right things to make sure I never go back to that.
Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, I work so hard and then I see people enjoying their life like you. I see you enjoying your life, not worried about money. You out with your friends. Okay. You know, you doing things, you create memories, and I'm like glued to a screen all day trying to.
You got to get out of that, man.
Yeah.
For some reason, a part of me growing up, the only thing I had growing up was family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't have anything. Yeah. One thing we always preached was you have each other no matter what.
And
we have your friends. You have people around you that's going to talk to you and tell you the right things. So no matter what goes wrong, I have someone to talk to about it. I can call my brother. I can call my mama.
Blessed.
Whoever.
I love being around your family, man. Yeah. Like, they're very family oriented.
Yeah.
Like, they get together. It doesn't have to be anything to celebrate. And they'll, like, cook
food.
Out.
That's it.
Cook all day.
Mm-hmm.
Music, bought a karaoke machine.
Yeah.
I'll just go there and just have the best time of my life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's a healthy environment.
But they instilled in me at an early age, like, Desmond, live your life.
Yeah.
We're not here long.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you that. So you're not, we don't have long here.
Yeah.
That's it. You got 75 years, I think. If you're American, if you're black, a lot less than that. So
if you have heart issues, a lot less than that.
If you don't get those checkups.
Facts.
So what are y'all's personal experience with dealing with getting out of this mind of ours that God gave us?
Shit.
if you want to go ahead.
I mean, just personally with, like, environmental factors, genetic factors, like, I deal with some shit, like, on a regular basis. I think that's why, I advocate a lot, you know, for mental wellness, you know, getting treatment and making sure that you're taking care of yourself and not, necessarily giving into like dangerous habits and things like that. So
yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like not to like go down a, you know, a well hole. Is it a well hole
or well hole?
Rabbit hole.
Rabbit hole. There we go. I told you I'm tired today.
That's a big hole, man. What?
Yeah.
The grudge down there. Wait, no, you don't.
Well, Alice down there too. No, I think more so like with mine, it's been a lot of because again, like we were talking about, like talking with friends, and this is like my form of therapy. I think Neek mentioned that once as well, as just getting together and having this like is really cool.
Yeah.
But I think more so with mine, it's always been along lines of like drugs, realistically, like how can I escape like my thoughts or whatever. So
yeah, a lot of people self-medicate in these days.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't
think that's necessarily a bad thing though, because you know how they used to overprescribe opioids. The new thing now is that they're overprescribing antipsychotics, and that's essentially like a sedative. And I've been prescribed that before, and like personally, like it's insane, like how like people call it zombie like. Like you guys have no idea. Like you literally don't feel like yourself. Like you feel like you're not even in the world. You just feel like you're kind of just heavy but floating. It's just crazy. Can't wake up in the mornings, nothing.
The only argument I have to that is like the only terms of self-medication I could kind of agree with is something along the lines of like that's not going to hurt you in the long run for the most part. Like obviously if you're smoking weed, like it's going to affect your lungs, right? But in terms of weed, I feel like it's not necessarily a bad thing for most people. For some people it can be, but like the problem with stuff like this, like people who are like or self-medicating like on the street with pills, is a lot of them are pressed now, you know what I mean? Like they got fentanyl, like they're putting whatever the fuck they want in these pills, and people are dying from that. So like even though like big pharma is making money off these regulated pills, like I mean it's a catch-22 because it's like we got to help these people, but these people are dying because they can't afford it. And then it's like I don't know. So let me ask you this though, just because I don't want to completely switch gears, do you feel like addiction in a person is a disease or a mental health issue or both?
Boy, that's a conspiracy. I think it goes
hand in hand, because I think someone can try something, become addicted, and then all of a sudden they're having all of these like mental issues.
Right.
And I also think people with mental illness like do try different things to escape like whatever they're suffering through. So like I think it's just like a hand in hand thing, you know.
Right. How about you? Well, more so along the lines, do you, because the big argument today is like addiction's not a disease, right?
They're saying that it's people are saying it's a choice.
Yeah.
Which it is.
And I think it is.
Okay.
I think how you got to that particular time is a choice. Yeah. But it's also like, if I am not diagnosed with anything, I don't know that I could end up addicted to this drug.
Well, let me,
you know what I mean?
Let me raise this thought to you then. It's your choice to have sex, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's not your choice to have AIDS. It's the things that come along with it, right? Like, you know the stipulations behind it, right? You know the risks.
Yeah.
So when you took that choice, like, you didn't want AIDS, but now you got to live with it. Yeah. So here, my only argument is, it's not really the exact, you know what I mean, analogy, but it's kind of the same thought process. Yes, it was my choice to pick up, but I was escaping something before, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now that I've picked up, and hey, I like this. This works because I don't have to think about option A anymore, right?
Yeah.
Now my body depends on this substance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I could die without this substance.
To this analogy, I would
say
that's
a huge fact.
I have a choice. So if I have sex with someone that has AIDS, I have a choice to wear a condom. Right. And the condom in this analogy is to walk away from the drug.
Right.
So protect yourself from this thing that could hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
So protect myself from the pill is try to not see the pill, walk away from the pill.
I agree.
And that sex situation, that would be to wear a condom.
You're right.
You know, because you wear a condom, I think the condoms are 98.9% effective whenever you wear them correctly.
Though, you still get the benefits of having sex in that situation.
You have the option of like, can I do this safely? With drugs, it's like, either I'm going to hurt myself or the drug's going to hurt myself.
That's a huge fact.
Yeah.
Like,
because you can literally die coming off of certain drugs. And
absolutely.
Like,
so then I would tell
that. And the biggest ones are alcohol and benzos.
So I guess this is what therapy's for, that person seeking something to replace that mindset. So if a cigarette smoker will chew gum to try to wing themselves off of that.
Right.
So they still kind of fulfill, like a cigarette is there. They still are releasing chemicals in their mind that make them think that that's there.
Right.
So this person needs to find, instead of the pills, we need to help them find the tools that fulfill that need. So maybe I'll feed them a bunch of sugar pills and they'll think, oh, I'm chilling. You know what I mean? Because it'll, you know, that's a bad, probably a bad
example. The placebo effect. No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but more so it's like,
that's also a really good point. And you really called me out just now.
Well, that's the point of this, right?
That person's still getting laid.
Yeah. It's hard to explain to somebody who hasn't been through it. I'm not saying you haven't struggled with addiction.
Oh, no, for sure, well, for sure.
And you can have withdrawals off of not just, like, you know, recreational things. Like, I quit my antidepressants cold turkey. I had a seizure, like, in at work and, like, literally, like, went down, almost died, like, straight up in March. Yeah, so it's like, you know,
yeah,
medication. It's insane.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
It's a slippery slope that us normal people.
But it's all tied into mental illness. Yeah. All of it.
Exactly. The point I was trying to make with you, and I'm not trying to call you out here, right? You enjoy a beer every now and then, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Take that same beer and then replace it with a non-alcoholic beer.
I wouldn't get drunk.
Is it going to be the same for you?
You wouldn't get drunk.
No.
That's the same.
I'm drinking for that.
I'm drinking to get drunk.
But when I'm drunk, I'm doing exactly what y'all said. I'm escaping the world. I'm not in my right mind. I'm taking this because it knocks the ease off. The one practice session we did where we had the tequila, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It helped me relax.
Comfortable. Exactly.
Made me more comfortable. So, it helped me out. It gets me out of my realm.
The reason I say that is, like, the beer is, like, obviously way different from the non-alcoholic beer, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's the same thing with heroin. And, it's the same thing with heroin and Suboxone. Like, heroin's the beer and Suboxone's the non-alcoholic beer. Granted, it still gets you high, but it's not where you want to be.
Not the same high.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So these people are, like, again, I'm in agreement that it's a disease just because, like, it wasn't your choice to... Like, if you go to any person who's sober right now and you're like, hey, how do you feel about feeling really good every day, but you lose your family, your home, your car, and you got to sleep on the street?
They're going to tell you hell no.
They're going to tell you fuck no, exactly. So it's like,
tell you hell no.
Nope. Everybody, like, when we grow up in school, bro, like, dare, like, we've known what these drugs do to us.
Yep.
If we know that these things are bad, why are we still doing them? It's got to be, like, a mental health issue.
Yeah, it's like
we want to run from problems. Like, this is the only option we have or we feel we have.
You know? Exactly.
I think sometimes, too, people end up, you know, being tricked into doing them. So I'm thinking of a particular situation in my mind where this girl was, she was taken advantage of, but she was given, you know, the drugs. And then, lo and behold, now she's... in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous or NA, all these places
that happens.
Yeah,
no,
like, you know, they end up,
and that's horrible.
So that shows.
Wait,
like,
so she was given something, and then something happened to her.
She was given. She was given something at a party and whatever. It was a tragic event. She got hooked. So that's going to your point. That makes it a disease because at this point in this situation, it's going against my argument because it's not a choice. She didn't choose that.
Right.
They took advantage of her, and then she ended up hooked. So it's definitely. I feel like it's both sides.
I agree too. I kind of am on the fence with this one. I do agree it's a disease, and I also agree it was their choice to pick up. But like we were saying, I think more so it's like when you're trying to escape your head or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, let's just say I started out smoking weed, right? And then most weed dealers today, like, or just most dealers in general, like you said, are out to make a buck. Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, I know you've been smoking weed. Like, have you ever tried cocaine?
Yeah.
Or like, have you ever tried whatever? He was like, look, I can give you this small amount for cheap. And then and then all of a sudden now they're hooked. So granted, it was their choice to buy it, but they're like, yeah, you know, I'll try it. Like,
it's not
their choice to continue it because it's.
At that point, it's causing a reaction in the body, like, you know, that you don't really have control over.
I hate that example, though, because that insinuates that weed is a gateway drug.
Well, he said coke, though.
No, I
know, but the drug that they started doing was weed, and then they ended up on the coke.
Negative. That's not what I said. It was.
I know that's not what you said.
The drug dealer is the gateway.
Yeah, he's the gateway. Yeah. Once he introduced you to a higher high, like, you can get higher than that, and then the weed doesn't get you that high.
That was the whole argument with Dare. Is once you start one, matter who or how you get to that next drug or that next level, it's there. So that's why I said
my first time smoking weed, I wasn't like, you know what, I really want to try crack. You know,
well, I think they're just saying if you try, like, studies have shown that if you try weed, you're more open to trying other drugs.
Exactly. Exactly.
So not necessarily saying, oh, if you smoke weed, like, you're going to graduate to math.
So do y'all believe that?
Yeah, absolutely. For
most
part.
I think so.
If you're willing to do one thing that's illegal.
Man, I don't even smoke weed and I don't believe that shit.
That's probably why.
Hey, yeah.
I got to look this up right now.
Think about it like this, Desmond. If you smoke a lot, you build a tolerance for that. So you're not getting as high as you want to. So now you want to try something to get you higher.
Well, not even just that. If you just like, I mean, this isn't everyone. Like, some people try weed one time and they're like, okay, I don't fucking like this. I'll never try anything else, you know. But some people are like, okay, I kind of like this. And then they hear their friends talk about Molly at raves or ecstasy or LSD or shrooms.
They
want to
try it. They want to see how it feels.
Exactly.
This is a really another question that I had for y'all. ADHD. Do y'all think it's real?
It's real.
It's real.
Okay.
It's real.
And they can show it on scans.
And
it's real, but we're over-medicating.
Yep.
I'll say it.
There we go. Yep. That's what I was getting at. Yeah,
we're over-medicating, definitely, because I know like 2-year-olds that are prescribed like ADHD medication, but I also think it stems from like a lot of sugar and our diets and
our
stuff. Like in Australia, I think like high fructose corn syrup, actually in a lot of countries, high fructose corn syrup, which I believe is a link to ADD and ADHD, is banned in those countries. But here is one of the main ingredients in like everything we eat. So I think a lot of our diet, like, you know, they say like, oh, you know, eat a healthy meal, you know, even though it's not going to cure your depression. I think like eating healthier things will give you better fighting chances.
Absolutely.
You know?
And that, I'm glad you said that, because I feel like a lot of people who are claiming, and I'm not saying it's not true, but a lot of people who claim mental health issues, I feel like they're not taking every step or every healthy step possible to, which goes along with diet, working. And I'm guilty of it too. Diet, working out, you know what I mean? Friendship interaction, like not drinking all the time. Like, because alcohol is a depressant, but we don't acknowledge that a lot of the time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're staying home, you're drinking all day and night, you're eating fast food, you don't have no friends, you don't have a boyfriend, like you're just watching TV, no shit, you're gonna be depressed. Shit. And then you're gonna go to your doctor and be like, lady, I'm so depressed, I haven't left my bed in 2 months. But it's like, did you try? Like,
and then and they don't even ask those questions though. They're
won't.
All right, well, here's your prescription. And
yeah,
then,
they'll just be like, yeah, here's your Prozac, here's your Zoloft, here's your
Let's backtrack one second. So is weed a gateway drug? And they did a study in 2012 in Japan. This is from the CDC, that says that 83.2% of users of recreational substances did not use cannabis first.
Nice.
Okay.
So I don't think that...
What's the argument on that? They probably drink alcohol then.
True, yeah, because drug is considered a drug. Yeah, or alcohol is considered a drug.
Caffeine's considered a drug. Mm-hmm. They could have stemmed those results from anything, dude. Like,
we got to ask like a specific question. Like, if you smoke weed, are you more likely... If you try weed first, are you more likely to try other things?
One idea is that cannabis, like alcohol and nicotine, is generally easier to access and afford than any other substance. So if someone is going to do them, they'll probably start with cannabis. So if I do weed, alcohol, and nicotine, then I probably am not going to go on to do other recreational drugs, is what they're saying. So, and I don't know how I felt like I heard this, because a lot of people in the beginning of trying to legalize marijuana were trying to say that weed was a gateway drug.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, no, it's not. It's not a gateway drug. And people painted these evil things about weed, because at the beginning of weed and people, you know, making it illegal was because of Black and Hispanic people.
Right.
They were saying that it made them very crazy. They would do crazy things. So, yeah. that's how I kind of heard that wasn't a gateway drug. Now, so, I'm not saying that it's not in any situation. In your situation, it's damn, if I can upsell... I'm a drug dealer, and I sell coke, and I can get you off of weed to make more money.
Right.
Oh, I'm damn sure going
to
do that.
Do it all day. Right. Just to kind of say what you were talking about too, like about weed being illegal. It was originally, yes, that was the statement that was put out, but it was a guy who owned a newspaper company.
Correct.
And he didn't want hemp to come out, because you could print hemp paper cheaper and it would last longer.
Yeah.
And he didn't want hemp to ruin his newspaper business.
Adam
so
knows everything.
He
Fuck
owns
capitalism.
He owns
you're right? causing problems.
Right? He owns the newspaper, so he puts headlines out that says marijuana makes white women want to sleep with Black men and Mexicans. It's just
and people were like, what the fuck are you doing?
They're probably beating the fuck out of their kids. We thought we got in trouble for weed. Like,
oh, that's so funny.
It's so fucked though.
I feel like y'all were already going in this direction, but I wanted to ask, so do you think there's other ways to escape your problems other than drugs?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, but I feel like people.
Wait, you, I throw some things you out did, there. I mean,
that's so you already do it, Neek, and you don't. You're taking.
Oh, I know.
You take. You're taking your thing and your passion and making it a bad thing. Like your willingness to go hustle and get money.
Yeah.
You're already escaping the world, yeah. Bro. You are late to everything because you're here. You're glued to this screen.
That's true.
Yes, yeah. You're in your mode. You're away from the world. That's your thing. That's your. You are making music. That's your drug, a choice. My drug of choice at one point was the gym. That's how I got away from shit. That's just what it was. For y'all two, it's...
I was going to say, again, drugs, but or video games, but only because...
drugs.
Only because, like, I feel like I'm such a, like, instant gratification type person. Mm-hmm. I don't want to work out and, like, you know what I mean? Get my muscles big over 6 months. I want to be high right now. I want to deal with this problem right now.
Like, yeah, I feel
like, this is a problem now, not 6 months down the road.
Facts.
I'm going to have everybody thinking I'm a drug addict over here.
I'm saying meditation.
He's like, we're going to fix this right now.
That's a good point. That's probably why. Yeah.
No, it is true. That's how I feel, though, because I'm going to be like, all right, fuck this. I'm doing a dab straight up. Right. I'm going to do the biggest fucking dab. We're gonna fix this.
Everyone dabs are just weed. We're not smoking crack.
Well, he asked what besides
to my grandma.
I was saying besides drugs, besides weed. Like,
video games.
Oh, yeah.
Jared, so, you're very like hands. You do stuff. Like you said you wrote a short film. You built a gun. You made a gun. You be doing these oils. These that's you just
crafty.
You want to do stuff. I don't know much about you yet, so I can't really, I don't know probably what yours is.
I do a lot of meditation. I paint some, read some. I'm into, like, crystals. I spend a lot of time outside. Like, I just find, like, random things to do, things that just, like, calm me or, you know, just bring me, like, some single track, like, focus on a task.
I think if people knew that what their passion was, maybe mental illness would shrink because
you
spend
don't even
a lot
need a passion, you need a hobby.
A hobby,
so,
yeah.
So, how about this?
It might shrink a little bit because I spend more time doing what I love,
absolutely,
and I'm happier doing what I love.
Absolutely,
exactly. How about this? People like Kanye, or like even
I love Kanye, I relate to him so hard.
I think
Kanye is my brother in spirit, I swear.
I think his situation isn't something that he's learned or he's been taught. I think at the beginning, he had very good intentions to be a good person and he means well, but his mom is dying is something he can't overcome.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that's
what that no
can
matter
you blame
what,
him though?
No, hell no. I might be the same way with mine.
Exactly.
Hopefully, you know, I don't know. That's I'm not gonna say that.
So we're about to be up in here crying. Like.
So do we all agree that like mental illness is like big these days? Like it's a
I would say so.
Absolutely, but I think it was created by us, obviously, like with social media.
I think there's a huge influx in the like anxiety and depression thing, but I think like along with that, we're shedding more light on like more serious, I don't say more serious, but it is more serious mental illnesses like schizophrenia, personality disorders. Like there's a million to name.
Anxiety is another one that I think levels. I think that one is a really big one that everybody faces. I'm one of the least anxious people ever.
I'm very anxious.
So,
and that's crazy that, you know, to me it's weird. Because
Their fight or flight. You know, that's common. Like, everyone's going to feel that. But then, you know, if you feel it a lot, you know, someone's going to be like, oh, I have anxiety. But it's like, nah, bro, like, chill out.
One of my coworkers did an anxiety simulator. And he put it kind of like with sounds and how they feel. And I kind of went and did it. And, I did this simulator for anxiety or whatever, and it kind of just like was like one example was like in the mall, like just how that sounds to people that are anxious, and I'm like, dude, I never hear that.
Right,
like it doesn't make me very anxious.
I think we've made it cool as a society just to have a mental illness, like even if you don't or to talk, like you know what I'm saying,
like make it a personality trait. Hey, I'm
I was going with all this is, do you think that still stems from the music we listen to? Because these people like are making these, like Juice WRLD was making all this depressed music, but that was him expressing that in a healthy way. I don't really think.
I'm glad that these people are that open about it now.
Yeah.
It makes it like, it's okay.
It's like influencing people to deal with their problems with drugs and stuff. So it's kind of a gray area, I guess.
But at the same time, and I hate to say this in this way, you need people like that.
Yeah.
Because as soon as they make that music and then they die from an overdose, they're like, oh, fuck, this shit was real.
It's awareness.
This was real, awareness. Right? Like,
And people, you know what's funny is people see that though and still be like, oh man, I gotta go drink and I gotta do this.
That's the addiction.
Yeah.
That's addiction.
Yeah.
You know, Mac Miller died and I know everybody was probably higher than they've ever been.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like in his
honor. You can name a handful of like musicians or artists that die from those type of things.
Yeah, and it don't stop people.
But
yeah, Amy Winehouse was just alcohol poisoners.
Yeah, but these are the same people that tried to escape it through their art. You know?
Absolutely.
And they also did the drugs. So that's why I asked y'all, like, is it possible to do other things to, like, other than drugs? Because these people were trying to escape their issues with art or, you know, what they thought would help, but they also were doing the drugs.
Well,
I want to speak on that, but I can't, because I feel like once you reach that level of fame and like you got people on your back all the time,
it's added stress. It's a new problem.
And again, just to kind of touch on what you said, I don't think it's just music. I think it's movies. I think it's social media.
Oh, it's everything. You know, I was just trying to
just preaching on the music.
Yeah,
okay,
that was a prime. That was just a.
I think that has a huge example. Yeah, I think that's a huge influence. Yeah.
So really, I think that's.
So back to the original question is, do we have a mental illness problem? And the answer to that question is over 45 million Americans, almost 20%, are experiencing mental illness. Over 10.3 million adults have serious thoughts of suicide in the United States. That is a 450,000 person increase from last year's data.
Wow.
And 57% of adults have mental illness with no treatment.
Wow.
Let's just sleep on that, y'all. Let me through my ups and downs. Yeah. Take one, how you feel?